And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
TGIF, Melody.
Yes, and it's a long weekend, too, with the Monday being Memorial Day. Our offices will be closed as many, well, I was going to say as many will be, but as many are, you know, because of the virus. So it's almost kind of like another day anymore. And Memorial Day for sure on Monday, and we will have a replay, a rebroadcast for the program. And we will reopen on Tuesday. So it's a long weekend. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this weekend. It's the first, I think it's the first long weekend since everybody went into hibernation since the middle of March. We had Easter, but it wasn't a three-day weekend or, you know, I mean, we close on Good Friday, but it's still not a recognized. So, it'll be interesting to see what the markets do and everything else. But talking about the markets, gold today, a little nice bounce back. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, you have gold up $820, $1,736. Silver was up 4 pennies today at $1,725. We're going to talk about silver today. We're going to talk about the silver eagles, and I just can't believe what I'm hearing, both in gold and silver. And I don't know how to get it straight except to keep talking about it, so people understand, you know, what's really going on. Platinum was up a dollar at $833. Palladium was down 86 at $1,996. We have USDX today down, or I'm sorry, up 34 at 99.77. Crude oil was down 48 cents at 33.44. Paper markets today, they were, I think, all over the page today. The Dow down 8 points, 24,465. The NASDAQ was up 40 points at 93.24. The S&P was up 6 at 2,955. 10-year yield, 0.66. That was down 0.02. Whoa, yeah. I guess with all the news, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, all the news about Hong Kong and China taking over their financial markets, Hong Kong was down 5.5%. And so, I wonder what will happen next week as this continues with that situation. So, let's see if there's any other interesting news. I mean, there's a lot of interesting news, but the markets, that is pretty much what I see as any major things, you know. You know, again, the tensions with China and the U.S., I mean, that certainly seems to be getting a little more heated or growing and so forth, Dave. But, let's see what we have today. We can talk a little bit about the IMF, you know, in reference to banks. And they're actually saying that the IMF, in its latest Global Financial Stability Report, they found that banks across 9 advanced economies are still struggling to generate profits over the next 5 years, or they will struggle to generate profit. The fund said that the COVID-19 economic downturn will test banks' resilience as they face loan losses, tighter margins from low interest rates. Bank earnings have already been hit hard by the economic shock of the virus. J.P. Morgan, they reported a 69% drop in profit in the first quarter compared to 1 year earlier. Well, yeah, a lot of these too big to fail banks, and I mean, they were making record profits. So, hey, I have no pain. I feel no pain for them, you know. No empathy for them whatsoever. But they did see a 69% drop in profit for this first quarter. The KBW Band Index, which tracks 24 bank stocks in the U.S., That has plummeted almost 40% year to date, Dave.
Yeah, the report also said that banks are better prepared for this particular economic shock thanks to buffers required by congressional action to be put in place since the financial crisis. Although some policymakers say more needs to be done to protect households and businesses. One solution is for banks to stop issuing dividends and stock buybacks. That's a good way to preserve capital, Melody, don't you think?
Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, major banks in March agreed to suspend buybacks through the end of the second quarter, June 30th, although many have continued to pay dividends to their shareholders.
Well, I just saw today there was a couple of companies that stopped, or I saw at least one, stopped their dividends. I can't recall which one it was. I just saw the headline. Maybe it was, I can't recall, but I think you're seeing more and more of them, and they're going to struggle. I don't see how the economy, I mean, people are still concerned about going out and doing things. They might be buying a lot online, but that's not going to help your local businesses. I mean, they're all going to go belly up. And so we have stocks. We've seen that they become detached from reality. I mean, they've been detached from reality for the last 100 years. But hey, we'll just take it the last 5 years, and they really become detached from reality with all of this new intervention from the central banks into these bond markets. In a research note, the Bank of America Securities Division, it highlights the question of why the stock market is so divorced from reality. Well, I would think, Dave, that would be due to the algorithm trading. It's probably one, but what they say is as of this chief investment strategist, Michael Harnett, set out a number of key reasons for this unmooring of stocks. He says the first of which was the emergence of fake markets. You've all heard about fake news. Now we're into fake markets. Government and corporate bond prices have been fixed by central banks. Why would anyone expect stocks to price rationally? The Fed and other central banks have deployed a total of around $4 trillion of asset purchases over the past 8 weeks. And the global equity market cap, that surged by $15 trillion, Dave.
Yeah, and in the same period, central banks have been buying $2.4 billion per hour of financial assets. Bank of America believes their analysts that will fade to $608 million in the coming weeks. However, with 2,215 out of 3,042 stocks remaining in bear markets, more than 20% from their all-time highs. Hartnett, who's the chief investment strategist at Bank of America, said that the paper market rally should be seen in the context of the $30 trillion collapse in February and March. How time flies, Melody. The rally has been concentrated in growth-focused tech names, and the market cap of the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, now exceeds that of the entire Eurozone equity market, those five stocks. Bear rallies in 1929, 38, and 74 saw an average rebound of 61% from their lows, following an average 49% fall. Hartnett suggested that overall market positioning is still bearish, policymakers causing an immoral hazard, which will force investors to buy banks, to lend, and corporate zombies to issue debt the rest of this year. Zombie companies are those that make just enough money to continue operations and service their existing debt, but hold little to no excess capital and are unable to pay off their debt.
I guess there's such a thing as zombie governments.
Ah, that's...
Zombie governments.
Indeed.
But I remember when China was first tagged with all of their zombie companies. You know, now it's happening right here in the U.S. of A. We have zombie companies just like China. Isn't that grand?
Mm-hmm.
Walmart, their CEO, they've seen different phases of shopping during this pandemic. They think that the stimulus checks worked but are short-lived. He said, first, customers stockpiled food and household essentials. Later, they sought out items that helped them work, learn, and entertain themselves during the long days at home. Now, in the final weeks of April, another trend has emerged. Customers were buying more TVs. This is after the $1,200 checks. Customers were buying more TVs, clothing, sporting goods, and toys with money that they, well, their stimulus checks. And so by issuing the checks, you know, it did work. The government wanted to spur consumer spending. They didn't want it to go for bills or their credit card payments. They didn't want it to go for house payments. They wanted it to go to spend on things that people already have. You know, the first phase was good. They stockpiled food and household essentials, and then they started getting nuts. But so they did kind of help, Dave, as far as doing what the government wanted to do.
Well, even as that, they say that that happened, these businesses are hesitant to forecast future sales and spending habits of their customers. First, because it's hard for companies to separate the impact that the stimulus checks had from other factors. And shopping and spending patterns have changed dramatically and rather unpredictably the last couple of months, with consumers hoarding some products and just avoiding others. Now, many states began to loosen or lift lockdowns in late April, now early May. It's contributing to foot traffic at stores. The home improvement retailer, spring is usually their busiest sales season. Lowe's said it was seeing strong sales even before stimulus checks. He said now more customers are coming into the store for new appliances or supplies for home projects. Walmart was uncertain enough to withdraw its financial outlook for the year, despite soaring first quarter sales. In addition, some of the stimulus spending may reflect urgent circumstances, which could indicate worse news is coming on the horizon.
Hmm. Well, you know, everybody's heard about the and talks about the unemployment. In the week ending May 16th, there were about 2.4 million more Americans that filed. But on the other hand, and that is the lowest weekly total since March 14th, so that sounds kind of good. But on the other hand, it's still 3.5 times as high as the previous weekly record from before March, part of a 9-week stretch that's seen nearly 39 million initial claims that have been filed across the country. And, you know, we're beginning to see the lockdowns are beginning to lift. We might expect the pace of job losses to slow down if businesses can reopen. And so that is all a good thing. And according to Indeed, the number of jobs posted by employers last week was only marginally higher than it had been the weeks before, still down nearly 40% year over year from the same week in 2019. And after consistently declining by an average of 16% each week from April 11th through May 9th, initial claims were down 9%. Dave?
Yeah, some think the silver lining in all this dire unemployment data is the prospect of jobs not being permanently lost yet. That, you know, through layoffs and furloughs, people might be out of work now, but are expected to return to their jobs when their employers reopen. According to the BLS's current population survey, about 78% of all unemployed Americans in April were classified as being on temporary layoff. That group also made up 88% of those who lost or completed jobs as opposed to voluntarily leaving jobs or reentering the ranks of the unemployed. Now, that supports the idea that the vast majority of jobs that have been lost could eventually return. To get a more granular view of this in real time, you can also look at filings made under the WARN Act, W-A-R-N, that has been on the record for a number of years. It generally requires employers with 100 or more workers to give a 60-day notice about plant closings and other mass layoffs. California experienced the largest number of job losses in the last state-level employment data released by the BLS, and the share of total affected employees who were temporarily laid off, 87%, in its WARN data almost exactly matches the national percentage of 88. According to California's WARN Act data, the share of all layoffs that are temporary hasn't changed throughout the crisis, hovering mainly around the current mark of 84%.
Well, here I think this is kind of interesting, and it's, you know, Alabama. Their auto exports to China is up 170% in the first quarter. And that soared again, 170% from a year ago, despite everything. Despite the trade frictions, despite the lockdowns, despite the pandemic. Greg Canfield, Alabama's Secretary of Commerce, says, "We support the concept of fair trade, but we also believe you have to maintain open channels of trade as you negotiate. Three foreign automakers, Honda, Hyundai, and Daimler Mercedes-Benz, operate assembly plants in the Cotton State. Together, they produce about 1 million vehicles a year in Alabama for domestic sales and export. Today, China repeated a pledge to follow through on its commitments in the Phase 1 trade deal, which has led to a four-month ceasefire on the tariff increases." So, I mean, that's all good, Dave.
Indeed. I mean, it's also important for other export-dependent places like Alabama, where almost 500,000 workers since mid-March have filed initial claims for unemployment. That's about a quarter of its labor force.
And we're heading into the first break of the program today. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. It is Friday, May 22nd, and I said in the beginning that I wanted to talk a little bit about silver, and I always want to share conversations that I have, because it's not just me saying, oh, you know, this is the way it is. I'm sharing the information. And gentleman called today. He wanted Silver Eagles. There's no Silver Eagles available. He says, well, there's a couple places out there that are selling them, locking in the price for delivery for June 15th. I says, well, you better be careful, because I've already heard the story that people have been promised, you know, 2-3 week delivery on Silver Eagles, and then they get a phone call and saying it's going to be 3 and 4 months. Now, let me tell you why I don't believe it. I could be wrong, but I talked to my, you know, and they're the biggest buyers in the country of silver. They back up their truck to the mint, and what they do is they go to the mint on Mondays. They make the arrangements, and the U.S. Mint gives certain dealers an allotment. There might be 10 of these dealers, maybe 15 at the most, if that many. So this month so far, they have produced 490 ounces, or 490,000 silver eagles. 490,000 ounces, 490,000 silver eagles. That's only 980 boxes, monster boxes. It's not very many, considering you have how many retailers across this country. And we're heading into the last week of May. Last month, they did 750,000. That's how many they sold last month. So they're down quite a bit from last month in the production of Silver Eagles. So when then I go on online and I see pricing for Silver Eagles, and I see, you know, if you buy 1,500 or more, your price is $28. If you buy 20, you're paying $30. And you don't have immediate delivery. There's something wrong with that picture. Now, I'm not saying that they're not true to their word, but my question is, why would anybody in their right mind pay $30 for a silver eagle with the promise of 3 weeks when there's no one across this country that has silver eagles? So I just question, and I did ask this person. I says, well, why can't you wait? I says, the premiums are never going to come down if you have people out there, and it is the people who have the least amount to spend most of the time. They're the ones that are paying the $30 per ounce, because they're afraid they're going to miss either the boat, or you're afraid something's going to happen and you can't convert those dollars fast enough into gold and silver. If that is your main concern, you're not able to convert your fiat dollars into silver, you might not have the time, then buy something that you can get delivered immediately. It doesn't have to be Silver Eagles. And I know there's people out there saying that's the only thing you should buy. I would love to debate them on a daily basis on that issue. So it depends on what you're, I mean, I get it. I get you want the Silver Eagles.
I get you want to convert those fiat. This is something that you should be doing. But don't be conned into buying $30 an ounce for a silver eagle. If we stopped paying those prices, guess what? Those premiums would drop like a rock. The good dealers in this country, like my wholesalers that I deal with, and even myself, I'm not going to sell them at $30, and I could be making a boatload of money. Why would I do that to my customers when there's other things to be purchasing? Now, when it comes to the point when that is absolutely the only product in the country that you can buy, and $30 is the going rate, well, that's what it has to be then. But until then, come on. I shared with you the gentleman who bought the slabbed silver eagles, you know, the pandemic silver eagles or the emergency printed silver eagles MS-70. You see them online being sold for $250 and $300. Like, really? You think you're going to be around 100 years when that really might mean something? You know? People are going to break them out of the case and, you know, and all you have is melt value. Same way with slabbed gold eagles and slabbed buffaloes. You pay big premiums. That's, yeah. But it's just a bullion coin. It's a lot different from the pre-33 coins. There you have a real coin. It's not mass-produced. But yet people will pay hundreds of dollars more for a slabbed gold eagle or buffalo. Lots of times, we just use them to fill orders on our regular orders of gold eagles. If someone buys 60 gold eagles and we have 55, but we have 5 of the slabbed, we'll just put in the 5. That's how much they're, you know, that's what you're getting. So, I mean, these are, and it just, Dave, it just, I get so emotional and I get, I just have this passion, it just upsets me. Don't get talked into something. There is always, you know, the biggest rage now is you don't want to buy any, you don't even want any Canadian maple leaves. You only want American coins. I get that when they're available and they're sold at a decent price. But if they're not, they are available right now. But when they weren't available, there was other things. It's not the end of the world if you don't have an American gold eagle or American silver eagle. And everybody always wants what they can't have. So when things are not available, it's like that's what everybody wants, which makes it even more difficult. And without diversifying into other products, none of the premiums will go down. So you're penalizing yourself and paying more than what you have to. So again, this is just, things haven't changed in the gold and silver market. You know, the whole reasons why you buy gold and silver is to convert those fiat dollars to preserve your purchasing power. It's the insurance of your wealth. You could speculate with silver. Yes, the ratio's out of whack. But so is everything else. So stick to the fundamentals. If you're a gambler, well, then you know what to do. Gamblers gamble, and that's okay. But for most people, you just want to preserve your purchasing power. Protect what you have. Buy the insurance policy, which is gold. That's your savings account. Silver is your checking account. Budgets make a difference. You buy what's suitable for you. Not what someone else tells you to buy, that you, this is what you need to have. You buy what's suitable for you. And that's what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. We help you to determine what is suitable for you. We give you options. All right, I'm done preaching. 800-375-4188. But you guys, you need to hear this more and more often, and we're just going to bring it to you more and more often. Because, you know, the internet is great. It's wonderful. You can find so much information, and you can educate yourself. But there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation. And it's hard to determine depending on who's pitching it. So you do have to be careful, and it's just like anything else. You stick to the fundamentals, and you can't go wrong. But, you know, here's some other things that we're going to talk about, Dave. Hertz, we mentioned this before. I guess Hertz is going to seek bankruptcy court protection. Their sales have collapsed in recent months. They missed about a $400 million in lease payments on its fleet late last month. You know, it was able to persuade lenders to give it until the end of today to come up with a payment plan that they would accept. Hertz had amassed $17 billion in debt, but it started the year off on solid ground. Revenue, hey, was up 6% in January and February, and then it all came to a halt. So Avis, which also raised approximately $500 million in a bond sale this month, acted more quickly to cut costs in response to the pandemic. They have taken on less debt, and they said they have enough cash to survive for a year. Another rental car place, Enterprise, it's a private company. They are a little more diversified and not nearly as reliant on airports as Avis and Hertz is. So I always liked Enterprise, Dave.
Yeah, they're our go-to company for our family. We've just had a lot of good experiences with them.
Plus, they pick you up.
Hey, there's a lot to be said for that.
You know, if Fed's too big to fail, bank bailout has rewarded bailed out banks. There was a careful reading of the Fed's bailout of Wall Street banks during the 2007 and the 2010 financial crisis are cryptically contained in a government audit of the Fed's emergency lending programs that was released to the public 9 years ago. Now, this audit shows that some of the very same too big to fail banks that were in desperate need of and receiving bailout funds from the Fed were given assignments by the Fed to oversee parts of the bailout. So making the situation even more outrageous, those same firms were paid huge fees by the Fed for their work. There's good reason to believe that the same plan is in the works for the Fed's latest bailout. They're using a lot of the same programs they used for the Great Recession. It worked then, and they're thinking it's going to work now. The audit by the Government Accountability Office, the nonpartisan watchdog for Congress, shows that during the first or the last financial crisis, Morgan Stanley was paid fees of over $108 million for investment banking advisory services on the AIG revolving credit facility. Morgan Stanley was the second largest recipient of bailout funds from the Fed. They received $2 trillion in secret revolving below market rate loans from the Fed during the last crisis. Only Citigroup eclipsed that total with a $2.5 trillion in secret loans from the Fed. A court order and Dodd-Frank legislation finally forced the Fed to release the names of the recipients and loan amount days. Loan amounts.
You know, Melody, just when we thought we couldn't get more outraged by so many of the stories we've learned over the years about these too big to fail banks and the Fed, some members of Congress, senior members of the administration, here comes this report. Now, we put this along with a table on our website at DGS Coins, just so you can, if you have some time over the weekend, go take a look, and you'll just see. I mean, we usually call it the incestuous relationship, the revolving door relationship between the banking industry and government. There are a lot more appropriate words, Melody, to describe what's going on here. Just unfortunately, we can't use them on the air. But you talk about a story that gets your gruff up. This is one of them, you know, and the story on Morgan Stanley and AIG doesn't end where Melody left off. I mean, AIG, as most listeners will remember, was a giant insurance company that had become a counterparty to Wall Street's credit derivatives and security lending programs. In order to make Wall Street whole in its bets with AIG, the government seized the company and paid Wall Street 100 cents on the dollar for what AIG owned to Wall Street and global banks. Came out to a mere $90 billion. Well, while Morgan Stanley was being paid for its so-called investment banking expertise, it was also collecting 100 cents on the dollar under the AIG bailout. Goldman Sachs received $814 billion in revolving loans from the Fed during the last crisis. J.P. Morgan Chase received $391 billion in cheap revolving loans from the Fed. It was also paid over $16 million between 2008 and 10 as custodian for the Fed's agency mortgage-backed securities purchase program. Come on. Wall Street's go-to accountants and lawyers were also paid huge fees by the Fed just for their work on AIG's bailout. Ernst & Young paid close to $67 million in fees, while the law firm Davis Polk paid almost $33 million. Looks like everybody connected to the bailout got a big payday, Melody, except the American people. Millions of them lost their homes, their jobs, and their life savings.
And this time is no different. The cause is different. But millions of Americans are going to lose their homes. Millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs. Millions of Americans are going to lose their life savings. Because those, the banks, you already have the programs that are being used from 2008. There's no difference, Dave. Only the numbers are bigger. Only are they not billions now. We're getting close to trillions. Amazing. We'll be right back. I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen, taking over the third segment for Melody, who's going to finish the weekend taking some calls from the very busy toll-free line 1-800-375-4188. Please join me in sending best wishes to Melody for a relaxing Memorial Day weekend. Where should we go? Our latest blog, which came out at around 4 o'clock today, is about, you guessed it, gold. Go figure. Listeners can subscribe to our weekly blogs. They're free. And our newsletters, they're free too, at dgscoins.com. Or you can read them on our Facebook page, again, at dgscoins. Now, with global financial markets in such disarray right now, many investors keep turning to our classic safe haven. As of lunchtime today, spot gold was trading at $1,734 an ounce. I believe it closed at around $737. It's more than 14% above where it started the year at. And then even after a strong rally since March, the S&P 500 is down about 10% over the same period. This isn't surprising. As listeners know, gold is familiar during economic downturns. Its returns are uncorrelated with assets like stocks, so it trends with some exceptions. It tends to hold its value when they fall. Now, owning gold coins and bullion is also a good way of avoiding currency devaluation. Therefore, should be featured in any investor's well-diversified portfolio. Call us at 1-800-375-4188. We'll tell you about all the options out there and how we believe we can help. Now, there are two slight caveats to viewing gold as always a safe haven. Compared to every other asset, it virtually always is. Early in an economic downturn, gold prices can fall with the rest of the market. We saw this in March, just 2 months ago, when gold fell 12% in 2 weeks after investors sold gold to finance what they previously had borrowed to buy stocks, the margin calls. But then gold quickly recovered. During extreme crises, governments can also seize people's gold. There have been some stunning examples, in fact, of gold confiscation in the past. Most memorably, this occurred in the U.S. in 1933 during the Great Depression, although it's probably more accurate to call that a nationalization rather than a confiscation, since citizens were compensated for their gold. They have the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution to thank them for that. Basically says that the government can't take property without private property, that is, of citizens, without just compensation. But under the direction of President FDR, government seized all gold, bullion, and coins via an executive order, forcing citizens to sell at well below market rates at the time. Immediately after the nationalization, the government set a new official rate for gold. It was at $35. It was much higher as part of the Gold Reserve Act of 1934. I think was under $21. This was the era of the U.S. gold standard, which meant dollars were tradable for an exact amount of the precious metal. Now, seizing gold enabled the government to print more dollars to try and stimulate the economy, and also to buy more dollars on the international markets to shore up its exchange rate. Many gold owners were understandably unhappy about the gold seizure, and many fought it in the courts. Ultimately, however, the government prevailed, and gold ownership remained illegal in the U.S. for 40 years until 1974. Think about that, 40 years, two generations. Now, why would governments risk the bad publicity, at least in those terms, of restricting gold ownership? Some say the answer is linked to a field of macroeconomics called monetary policy trilemma, MPT. Under MPT, countries choose between two of the following policies and can't generally do all three at the same time. One is set fixed exchange rates. Two, allow capital to move freely over international borders. And three, independently set interest rates and print money. Essentially, control monetary policy. Well, in the 1930s, countries generally chose fixed exchange rates linked to gold plus free capital movement, thus sacrificing control of monetary policy. That system came under more pressure because too many investors were trading their dollars for gold. Well, one way the U.S. could take enough control of monetary policy to print more money was to impose various capital controls. That included seizing gold. Today, though, the situation's fundamentally different, mainly because economies, Western economies, for the large part, have free-floating exchange rates. So they have control over monetary policy and can allow capital to move freely. Meaning that during a crisis, they can print money and cut interest rates without having to impose controls on gold. And that makes any future gold nationalizations, confiscations in our country anyway, I believe, highly unlikely. Any direct meddling by the U.S. government in the gold market today would be counterproductive at a minimum, politically unpopular and divisive at most. It would increase investor anxiety also and encourage them to rush to other assets with similar properties. Probably silver, platinum, palladium, other precious metals. Thus, those who hold gold, I believe, are safer now than they were over the past century. Besides, there are other alternatives open to government other than outright gold nationalization. For example, there's the UK. When they left the international gold standard in 1931, the devaluation of the pound put pressure on other currencies, such as the Dutch guilder. In response, the Netherlands imposed a variety of restrictions on gold, but stopped short of confiscation. Again, this kind of move is unnecessary in today's era, where countries control their own monetary policy. Most observers, ourselves included, agree that gold will remain a safe haven. In fact, it will remain the safe haven. The only way that wouldn't occur, we believe, is if our country or another felt it had to aggressively sell its reserves, say to reduce debts. But even in our own current crisis, something that bold isn't on the horizon, and there's no appetite to pay down our debt, much less confiscate gold to do it. Yes, desperate times do sometimes call for desperate measures. Confiscating or nationalizing gold, however, isn't one of them. Again, be on the lookout in your email boxes for our blog. There will not be a newsletter published on Monday, so the next email you get from us will be next Friday for our weekly blog. Now, during the Great Depression, FDR's New Deal initiative established a series of government programs and agencies that put thousands of Americans back to work, building large-scale infrastructure and conservation projects. Yesterday, Democrats in the Senate proposed a similar program, not as grandiose, certainly, designed to employ those who have lost their jobs. Jobs to Fight COVID-19 Act of 2020 was introduced by Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. It would give states and localities $100 billion in grants to hire and train newly unemployed workers to perform pandemic response work, including contact tracing, surveillance, mitigation, and cleaning services. Schatz said, with nearly 40 million unemployed, we need solutions that meet the scale of our problem. This bill will put people back to work and provide the workforce we need to stop the spread of the coronavirus and help us safely reopen. Several senators co-sponsored the measure. Health experts say contact tracing is a critical tool in fighting highly infectious diseases, and it's been used to fight other viruses, including Ebola. Countries such as South Korea have used it in other surveillance methods to bring their coronavirus caseloads close to zero. Without federal guidance on contact tracing, states have pushed forward with their own plans to hire armies of contact tracers in an effort to curb the spread of the virus. We talked about that on one of our programs the other week. California now is planning to field a force of 10,000 state employees to track those who've been infected. Other states like Washington, West Virginia, Iowa, and others are using National Guard personnel to trace contacts. Many states and localities already face severe shortages in tax revenues because of stalled economies. And that's a problem threatening essential services all across the country, such as police, fire, and sanitation. And the idea of a federal jobs program, especially on the scale of those seen during the Great Depression, hasn't been talked about in Washington for a long time now. Now, they have, of course, talked about increased unemployment benefits, payroll support, direct checks. This is just another idea. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. Now, sticking briefly with the legislative front, the Senate, U.S. Senate left town yesterday without taking any action to further address the economy or the pandemic. GOP leaders in the Senate maintain that the four bills Congress has already passed, which total about $3 trillion in borrowed spending, are sufficient, at least for now. Senate Majority Whip John Thune said it's illogical to say we've spent $3 trillion and we wouldn't want to take a look at whether it's being efficient before we rush headlong and push another $3 trillion out the door. He dismissed the new $3 trillion measure that the Democratic-controlled House passed last week as crazy. But of course, Senate Democrats argue that more federal spending is needed, particularly given the rising unemployment rate, the dire economic projections. And now they're using the calls for additional legislative action from the Fed as ammunition. The impasse isn't expected to break anytime soon. The chamber won't be back in session until June 1st after its week-long Memorial Day recess. Another article trending, speaking of jobs, in an internal meeting with staff yesterday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said his company's planning to shift the majority of its workforce to be able to work remotely in the next 5 to 10 years. The coronavirus pandemic has forced many companies to quickly adopt remote working strategies, but tech companies in particular, which are well equipped for remote work, are preparing to make remote work the new normal for most of their employees. In fact, Zuckerberg said, my prediction is that in 5 to 10 years, we could have 50% working remote. That's 50% of Facebook employees. And he followed up, that's not a target, just a prediction based on the demand we've seen so far. The first steps will be aggressively opening up remote hiring around the whole U.S. and Canada, especially for experienced engineers, as well as letting some employees request to become permanent remote workers. Now, in the remaining time, bear with me. This was a major news item, and I apologize that Melody and I didn't discuss this earlier. Melody did allude to it in the market report, but China's parliament is considering a bill that would limit opposition activity in Hong Kong. It appears to confirm speculation that China will sidestep Hong Kong's own lawmaking body in enacting legislation to crack down on activity that Beijing considers subversive. Such a move has long been under consideration, but apparently it's been hastened by the months of anti-government protests last year. We certainly haven't heard much of it lately. And let's see. Such legislation was last proposed in 2003. That was under Hong Kong's mini-constitution, bringing hundreds of thousands of the territory's citizens out in protest. Millions have been in the street more recently. The proposal was withdrawn by the government, but Beijing, we know, is now increasingly pushing for measures such as punishment for disrespecting the Chinese national flag and anthem, and increased pro-China patriotic-themed education in schools. Opposition in Hong Kong's Legislative Council, however, made it unlikely such a bill could pass at the local level. And with that, we'll call it a week. We'll call it the beginning of a holiday weekend. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening. We appreciate your loyalty and your support. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. We'll see you on Tuesday. This is Financial Survival. If I got me.